And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. We thank them for their continued support. Give them a call, 910-251-6088. Or visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. We've got a lot to get into this morning, kind of all over the board as we head into the Labor Day weekend. We'll take a look at that forecast coming up here a little bit later on in the show this morning. However, we're going to start off with something that is a big deal for those in the eastern half of North Carolina, and something that is likely to play out as a major issue in the Senate race that our state is going to see, of course, a primary on later or early next year in early parts of March. And then, of course, a big time general election as the midterm elections hit in November of 2026. And that is going to be hurricane relief. And I caught this bizarre post from Roy Cooper on X. I think it was yesterday or the day. It was the 2 days ago. And so he put this post out on his X account. We'll go through all the details this morning. But it reads like this. The president, talking about Trump, put Michael Whatley in charge of federal recovery for Western North Carolina. Whatley is failing North Carolina families. And so there's the post. And before we get into any of the pertinent details, and we'll go through this stupid article over at SmokyMountainNews.com, just setting the stage on what went on here in the state under Roy Cooper's watch when he was the governor of the state of North Carolina for 8 years, the disastrous, abysmal, pitiful, embarrassing response to Hurricanes Matthew and Florence. And to this day, as we speak here, rounding out the month of August 2025, there are still hundreds of families that are waiting to return to their home. And so let me say this about Roy Cooper and the people he's working with. I know, I don't know the governor well, obviously, former governor, but I do know the people that he's working with, his campaign consultants. These are smart people. And Roy Cooper himself is a very smart guy. He is a very savvy political operator. He knows what to say. He knows what not to say. It's part of the reason why he has remained such a popular figure in North Carolina. It's not that he's been without controversy. It's not that everything was hunky-dory and unicorns and rainbows under his watch. But A, he was very good at not getting into the weeds on any issues that would hurt him politically. And of course, B, the media in North Carolina is so freaking dishonest and is so skewed to the left that any issues that did revolve and show up and paint Roy Cooper in a negative or bad light, they just wouldn't cover it. One of my favorite lines for those that used to listen to me on the radio and listen to talk radio here in Wilmington, Chris Plant always had a line. He used to come on after me on 980. And one of his lines was that the most dubious or the worst thing that media can do is ignore a story. It's not reporting the facts inaccurately. It's not, maybe misguiding the story or, using their ability to run something and word it in a way in which it doesn't seem as bad as it really is at face value. The biggest thing and the worst thing that media can do is to ignore something. And we know, looking at the track record of North Carolina media, the major outlets, you're talking the Charlotte Observer, the Raleigh News and Observer, WRAL, other major statewide outlets and publications, they just ignore. And in this state, all of the media, outside of a couple of sources, CarolinaJournal.com, which I'll note I do work for them, the North State Journal, you've got other great individuals like Andrew Dunn, who does write for The Observer, but also has his own Substack. People like A.P. Dillon, who also write for the North State Journal, has her own Substack. Some of the great reporters over at WBT in Charlotte, some of the hosts there, Brett Winterbull, Pete Callender, Brett Jensen. Outside of a couple of media outlets, the media in the state of North Carolina sway so freaking far to the left. It's unbelievable. There is not a single mainstream television outlet, and I say television outlet in the state, that is not so incredibly far to the left that it is just, it is astonishing. And TV is a very popular platform and a very popular medium. Newspapers, the exact same thing, your traditional daily circulation newspaper. It's the reason that people don't read the Wilmington Star News anymore. It's the reason that people are canceling their subscription for the Charlotte Observer and the News and Observer. It's just garbage. And while Roy Cooper was in office, the governor himself, the people around him, and the media, there was a coordinated effort to make sure that bad press and bad news about the governor did not get out. And one of, I would argue, Roy Cooper's biggest black eyes from his time as the governor of North Carolina, he served in that office for 8 years, is the disastrous response and the disastrous relief efforts and recovery efforts after Hurricanes Florence and Matthew. So before we get into how bad the governor's actual response is, I want to go through this ridiculous story by Corey Valancourt over at the Smoky Mountain News, which was seemingly paid for and placed there by Roy Cooper and by the Democrats. The article's not very long. It's probably less than 200 words. But here's the article. It was written on Wednesday, August the 27th. And again, not a lengthy article, but this is how it reads. Very interesting. Scenic Chimney Rock has historically been out of an out-of-the-way place, nested tightly against the broad river in a narrow valley between lush towering peaks that peer down at nearby Lake Lure. It's always been difficult to get there, especially now, with most roads still closed 11 months after Hurricane Helene, but you'll know you're heading in the right direction up Highway 9 by the nearly senseless stream of dump trucks coming down and out. Helene inflicted an estimated $60 billion worth of damages in North Carolina, making it one of the costliest natural disasters in state history. That steady line of trucks is the most visible sign that the region's recovery is far from over and that the pace of federal funds trickling in has been frustratingly slow. The man put in charge of recovery by President Donald Trump is longtime party boss with little disaster management experience who is also running for U.S. Senate. On January 24th, 4 months after Helene carved a swath of destruction through Rutherford, Buncombe, and Madison counties, and 4 days after Trump was sworn in as the nation's 47th president, Trump flew into Asheville Regional Airport in Fletcher with twofold directives. The first, by executive order, was to establish the Federal Emergency Management Agency's Review Council, headed up by Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem and Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. The purpose of the council was to meet periodically and to issue a report on operations for FEMA reform to the president within 180 days of its establishment. The second was to tap Michael Whatley as Western North Carolina's recovery czar. It goes on to say, Whatley, a lawyer who served as the chair of the Republican National Party from 2019 to 2024, and then as the chair of the Republican National Committee from 2024 to August 22nd of this year, declared his candidacy for incumbent Republican Senator Tom Tillis's seat on July 31st after Tillis said that he wouldn't run again. Trump endorsed Whatley before Whatley even announced, calling him fantastic at everything he does, which for a region still in disarray due to storm damage and federal funding hangups seems to provide a ray of light. So this article, which we're going through over at the Smoky Mountain at SmokyMountainNews.com, so far we're, I don't know, maybe 300 or 350 words into the article. There's not been any discussion. There's not been any reference that when Hurricane Helene hit the state of North Carolina back in September of last year, Roy Cooper was the governor of the state at the time. Now, yes, he was terming out. Yes, he was heading out of office. But when the storm hit in, what was it, late September of last year, Roy Cooper was still in the governor's mansion and would continue to be in the governor's mansion till the turn of the year. No discussion of that thus far. We'll see what happens later on. No discussion of that thus far, and no discussion that since January 1st of this year, another Democrat and Josh Stein has been in the governor's mansion. No discussion of that. We're talking about Michael Whatley, Kristi Noem, Pete Hegseth. We're talking about all of this stuff on the federal side, but no reference of what's going on in the state. So let's go back to the article. During a campaign stop in Chimney Rock on August the 21st, former North Carolina governor and Whatley's likely Democrat opponent, Roy Cooper, was asked if he indeed thought everything was going well in Western North Carolina, with Cooper telling the Smoky Mountain News, quote, "Absolutely not. And in fact, Whatley's part of the problem here. Because Washington, D.C. insiders have made it so much more difficult for the people in Western North Carolina to recover. And in fact, people in Western North Carolina have been left holding the bag. We should not be playing political games with disaster recovery." Evidence supporting Cooper's claims are overwhelming. If not from the buzz of circular saws and smell of wet sawdust enveloping Chimney Rock's Main Street, then from the amount of aid that's actually made it to the entities that need it. At the six-month anniversary of Helene in March, an investigation by Smoky Mountain News found that for local governments impacted by the storm, just 4% of their needs had been met, and that most hadn't yet seen a nickel. Near the nine-month anniversary, the Asheville Citizen Times reported that that figure had climbed to 6%. Last week, WRAL reported that the federal government, specifically DHS, had been, quote, "holding up hundreds of millions of dollars in Hurricane Helene aid for North Carolina, while also running behind schedule on millions of more dollars in disaster preparedness grants." A DHS press release from August the 21st touts $96 million in aid alone during the month of August, bringing the total to more than $320 million in FEMA reimbursements since January the 20th, and more than $650 million dating back to the Biden administration. But in the context of $60 billion in documented needs, it's definitely too little and maybe too late for some. Governor Roy Cooper said, "With FEMA, it's never worked as well as we've wanted it to work." Now, hold on a second. Wait, Roy Cooper, the former Democrat governor of North Carolina, likely to be Senate Democrat candidate, is saying, this is his direct quote to the Smoky Mountain News, "With FEMA, it's never worked as well as we've wanted it to." That completely flies in the face of what Democrats have been yelling and screaming about since early this year. Because if you'll remember, Donald Trump, rightfully so, made the point and claimed that things need to change with FEMA. Donald Trump accurately assessed that FEMA, at its current ability and the way that it is currently set up as an agency and an entity, does not work. When Donald Trump made that claim, what did you hear from those on the political left? That FEMA is a perfect entity, that FEMA is a perfect agency that has never had any problems, that there's never been any issues that have existed with FEMA, that Donald Trump is going to screw every state across the United States because the federal government's not going to be there. Hundreds of thousands of people are going to die in disasters because FEMA's not around, so on and so forth. That's what you heard from Democrats when Donald Trump announced, hey, maybe this FEMA entity, which takes years to dole out, sometimes decades to dole out federal dollars, maybe we need to look at changing how this operates. Donald Trump made that point, which seems to be an accurate assessment, and Democrats lost their mind. But now Roy Cooper is changing his tune, saying that FEMA's never worked as well as we've wanted it to work. So which one is it, Roy? So Donald Trump is either destroying FEMA and is going to kill hundreds of thousands of people because it's the greatest thing that's ever existed, or it's never worked as well as we've wanted it to. This quote here from Roy Cooper is seemingly lining up exactly with what former, at the time, former President Donald Trump, now President Donald Trump said. So back to the quote. With FEMA, this is Roy Cooper. With FEMA, it's never worked as well as we've wanted it to do. North Carolina's had a lot of storms, but now it's worse than ever. It's completely broken. And it's time to put politics aside and start writing checks so the people of Western North Carolina can recover. Whatley's appointment was supposed to mean accountability. Instead, it's given rise to a question now being asked across the mountains and increasingly in Raleigh and Washington. Where's Whatley? Since his appointment, Whatley has rarely, if ever, been visible in Helene's disaster zone. His most substantial activity tied to recovery has been as a co-host for the final report subcommittee of the FEMA Review Council, which records from the Federal Register show he only met twice in 7 months for a total of about 3 hours. The first meeting on May the 20th in Washington, D.C. was 100 minutes. The second meeting took place in New Orleans on July 9th and lasted 60 minutes. And the next meeting took place in Oklahoma City the next meeting is scheduled in Oklahoma City for 75 minutes on August the 26th. That was yesterday, where Kristi Noem is set to be at that meeting. But for residents, the perception remains clear. Billions have been promised, which is not true, but little has arrived. Whatley, charged by Trump to ensure things will go well, has done little to alter the fundamental trajectory of hurricane recovery. And Cooper said, quote, "It's amazing to see the dedication and the courage and resilience of people here. To talk with businesses whose are opening back up for the first time since the storm, and the sense of hope and optimism that you are feeling. I don't know that the road to recovery will continue to be long, and there is a much more to do. People in Washington need to step up. People at FEMA need to step up to help Western North Carolina." Michael Whatley did not respond to comment for this story. What a load of bullshit this article is. Now, this is written as a news piece. This is not listed under the opinion section at Smoky Mountain News. There is not a single reference in this entire article to the work that has been done by the Republican-led North Carolina General Assembly to allocate, at this point, over $1 billion directly here in the state. There is no discussion on how it was bipartisan work, those pieces of funding signed into law by, at the time, former Governor Roy Cooper in December of last year, and then multiple Helene bills under Democrat Governor Josh Stein so far this year. No discussion of it at all. And so this article, which I hope the author of this piece in Corey Villancourt and the Smoky Mountain News, I hope that when Roy Cooper's campaign finance reports come out, I hope that the Smoky Mountain News is listed in there as an in-kind contributor, because that's what this article is. It doesn't mention at all that Roy Cooper was the governor when this storm hit. It doesn't mention that he passed the torch to another Democrat in Josh Stein. All of the blame on this disaster relief, which, by the way, in the article, they talk about how there's dump trucks running 24/7, wood is being cut, businesses are reopening the door. So obviously some money is flowing into Western North Carolina. If that wasn't the case, then no dump trucks would be running, no relief efforts would be going on, and nothing would be happening. But they're admitting that it is. So obviously, money is rolling in. Obviously, that's the case. But of course, no reference and no mention to that at all. So instead of looking at anybody else to also be responsible, they are exclusively putting Western North Carolina relief at the feet of a man who was appointed to an advisory council in Washington, D.C. Now, let me explain to you how government works. An advisory council makes recommendations. The entity in which they are making recommendations to then have the responsibility, if they want to act on said recommendations, said whatever research or analysis comes out from the advisory council. In Michael Whatley's position, he is nothing more than a board member on a group that is advising FEMA, advising the Trump administration, and advising the federal government. He is in absolutely no position of power to actually affect change on hurricane relief. He can recommend things, but at the end of the day, it's up to federal, state governments to make changes. But instead of referencing anything else in this article about actual decision makers, people that are actually responsible, people that can actually make a difference with what's going on, all of this is just pointed at Michael Whatley. And part of the reason why this is such a stupid, ridiculous article is there is zero reference in it at all that under Roy Cooper's watch as the governor of North Carolina, the Office of Recovery and Resiliency, also known as NCOR, ran a $300 million budget deficit. And nearly a decade after Hurricanes Matthew and Florence affected eastern North Carolina, there are still more than 750 homeowners that are awaiting their homes to be rebuilt. Don't you find it a little bit ironic? Don't you find it interesting that none of that made it into this so-called news piece over at Smoky Mountain News? And it's why I mentioned the quote and or the common catchphrase for from Chris Plant, who hosts the nationally syndicated Chris Plant show. The most devious thing that media can do is to ignore. And that's exactly what you saw in this article over at Smoky Mountain News. Now, I'm not saying that they needed to torch Roy Cooper. I would have if I was the writer of the article, but to not even reference it, to not mention that under Roy Cooper's watch, an agency that he set up, an agency that was under 100% under his purview and his directive, his baby in NCOR, overspent their budget by $300 million. And almost 10 years, Hurricane Matthew affected the state in 2016. It's been almost 10 years since that storm hit the state of North Carolina, and people are still not back in their homes. I would argue if you are talking about reporting on news, if you are trying to set yourself up as a journalist, if you're trying to do your job and report facts and information, sure, include the quotes from Roy Cooper. Include his bashing of Michael Whatley. Absolutely. It's a Senate race. They're running against each other. All of that is fair game. I'm not saying that the Smoky Mountain News shouldn't have reported this. But I think it would have also been important to, oh, I don't know, maybe ask the governor, hey, Governor Cooper, under your watch, however, hurricane relief was also a disaster. Do you have any comment on that? No, that was not asked by Corey Villancourt over at Smoky Mountain News. That was not referenced by him at all. And it makes total sense because people like Corey and outlets like the Smoky Mountain News are not interested in any actual fact. These outlets, these entities are not interested in actual information. They're interested in being a megaphone to get Democrats elected. Folks, we know this about media, right? You look at the national media ecosystem. You look at NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, all the rest. You look at the New York Times, the Washington Post, Bloomberg, so on and so forth. These entities, these outlets will do or say or report anything in their power to make Republicans, to make conservatives, and make those on the right side of the political aisle look bad. And they will do it consistently. They will do it at nauseam, 24/7. It's why news in North Carolina is so hard to decipher. Because you read an article like this over at Smoky Mountain News and assume you're somebody that is not a 1% or political person like you and I are. Folks that listen to this show, you are hyper engaged on politics. I am hyper engaged on politics. You have to remember that 99% of people are not like us. We are the 1%. We are odd and weird in the way in which we follow politics. It's not a bad thing, but we are very abnormal in that fact. So you imagine the individual from Western North Carolina that is reading this article over at Smoky Mountain News, their one of their local media publications, right? It's kind of equivalent to something like Port City Daily here in Wilmington. So you imagine somebody who doesn't follow state politics very closely, obviously doesn't live in Eastern North Carolina, so they don't have any of the real life and real world accounts of what went on during Hurricane Florence and Matthew and the almost 10 years since those storms. They read this article over at Smoky Mountain News, and they believe that the reason that hurricane relief has not been faster in Western North Carolina is because of Michael Whatley. There's no discussion of GrowNC, which is Josh Stein's equivalent to NCORE, which has spent tens of millions of dollars to this point and has not rebuilt a single freaking home in the western half of North Carolina. Big time salaries, big time paychecks for Matt Calabria and other folks that are running GrowNC. Big time paychecks, not a single house built. None, not one. They've done about 200 surveys so far for God knows how many homes were disastered and are eligible for the state to rebuild them. Now, of course, private insurance is doing a lot of the work in Western North Carolina. A lot of the work that's been done to this point is being done by folks that have private insurance policies like that cover the disaster, so on and so forth. So that's a lot of the work that's been done. But no discussion that the state of North Carolina, 11 months after the storm, has not rebuilt a single home. No discussion that the state of North Carolina, under now Josh Stein's watch, has spent tens of millions of dollars paying people big time salaries to do nothing. Again, no homes have been rebuilt. No discussion on Roy Cooper's past. No mention or reference to any of it. No discussion that the state itself has allocated $1 billion worth of funding, over $1 billion, to fund relief and recovery efforts in the western half of the state. So the question might be, where's that money? Well, it's being bogged down and it's being slowed down by the governor's office. It's all running through this GrowNC entity that is taking its sweet ass time with hurricane relief. But if you're not somebody that follows state politics, if you're not somebody that, you know, reads outlets like CarolinaJournal.com, if you're not somebody that is following what's going on in the North Carolina legislature, which again, people are busy, especially those folks in Western North Carolina. They are still trying to pick up the pieces from Helene. They are still doing everything that they can in the best of their ability to get their lives back on track from an unbelievably disastrous storm that affected the state last year. I would imagine one of the last things on their minds is tracking the inner workings of the North Carolina General Assembly. They're trying to figure out how they're going to get back to work, what their kids are going to do for school, what their family is going to do long term. That's the top focus on their mind, as it should be. And so you would assume, and maybe that, you know, they say what they say about assumptions. And so I would assume that Smoky Mountain News would include at least even just a sentence or two. I'm not saying make the whole article about what's going on in North Carolina, the work that's been done, so on and so forth. I'm not saying turn the entire article into this. This outlet got an exclusive quote from Roy Cooper. That's a big get, so they talk about it. But not to even include a sentence about what has gone on, what is currently going on, the money that's been doled out, Roy Cooper's abysmal, disastrous track record, to include none of that is so unbelievably dishonest. And it's why people are turning away from outlets like this. You know, there's all of this griping and moaning from those on the left about how journalism is dying and local media is going away and it's a threat to democracy. Folks, this is why local media is going away. Because anybody that knows, that even has tertiary knowledge of what has gone on in North Carolina politics with hurricane relief, reads this story and vomits. Because it does not even come close to painting the picture at all. No reference. No reference at all. So let's get into some of the reference. NCORE, which was created in 2018 by Democrat Governor Roy Cooper to assist in the rebuilding process following Hurricanes Matthew and Florence, has had ongoing failures with financial mismanagement that have created a backlog of people waiting to have their homes repaired or rebuilt. Four state government operation hearings over the past few years, with the most recent one happening in January, have generated very few answers, often following a cycle of wash, rinse, and repeat, with asking the same questions and getting the same answers from NCORE officials. To this point, NCORE is $300 million in the hole. $300 million. We found out those bits of information late last year, like a month or so after Helene, or 2 months or so after Helene hit Western North Carolina. Governor Roy Cooper's baby and NCORE, we magically found out they were $300 million in the hole. No discussion of that in the article at all. So back earlier this year, back in May, State Auditor Dave Bolick's office conducted an audit of NCORE, looking at what went on to try and figure out what's happening. Bolick told the Carolina Journal, quote, "What kind of return on investment did taxpayers get on that money? How do we operate moving forward so that we don't find ourselves back in this situation where a new executive director of a disaster relief agency is sitting in front of a joint oversight committee asking for $300 million to fill a hole that the General Assembly believed was filled with the first appropriation? We need to prevent this from happening again because it's really hard to fix this situation. It's a tremendous amount of money." To put that number in context, the state auditor's office only has a yearly budget of $26.5 million. That's for the entire 12-month operation of the state auditor's office. And NCORE was $300 million in the hole. Not $300 million total, but $300 million in the hole. So I, again, think it's relevant. And I think it would be incredibly important to provide your audience and your readers over at Smoky Mountain News just a little bit of context as to what this state has gone through in the past. And folks, there's no other way to describe it besides a complete and total failure by state government at the hands of Democrats like Roy Cooper. You want to talk about hurricane relief? Let's talk about the disaster that is NCORE. And so I bring all of that up this morning, first of all, to point out the ridiculous bias that exists in North Carolina media. But secondly, going back to this tweet from Roy Cooper, him and his team are out of their minds if they think they're going to make hurricane relief a big topic in this Senate race. I can promise you that that is not a can of worms that Roy Cooper and his consultants want to open. Because if you actually get a full accounting of the history, and of course, this is where things get tough because the media is not interested in telling the truth. The media is not interested in providing information. The media is not interested in providing fact and reality. But if you actually want to do that, which of course, WRAL, the News and Observer, Smoky Mountain News, none of these outlets want to do this. But if you actually wanted to dig into hurricane relief, you would be appalled by what has happened in this state over the last decade. You would be appalled at the complete and total lackluster disaster responses from those people like Roy Cooper, who was the governor during the entirety of Hurricane Matthew in Florence. He was the governor in the months following Hurricane Helene's devastation in Western North Carolina. No reference to it. No discussion of it, not even a sentence. This is why a trust in American media amongst those has dropped to all-time lows. There is a reason that people have moved away from reading the news. There is a reason that people have decided that they're just going to disconnect from this kind of content. Because what they're being told is not accurate. And again, This is not an opinion piece. If it was, I'd call it out, but it would be a little bit of a different story. This is listed as a news article. We are on the news tab over at Smoky Mountain News. Not the opinion tab, but the news tab. And so that is the biggest problem in all of this. This is not news. This is a hit piece article against Michael Whatley by the Roy Cooper campaign, published as news over at SmokyMountainNews.com. This is why people don't trust media. This is why people are moving away from media. This is why they do not trust what they read and why there's so much skepticism in what is being reported. Because people can see and people know that time and time again, they are misled on the facts of the matter. They are misled as to what's going on. And that's why they decide and eventually determine, I'm just going to turn it off. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to read this garbage. I'm not going to engage in these outlets that are purposefully misleading me and misleading my community. Shame on Smoky Mountain News. Shame on Corey Villain Court for putting this piece together. This is laughable if you want to call this media. And by the way, this individual this author over at Smoky Mountain News, this isn't just some random guy. This is the politics editor for Smoky Mountain News. And as you can imagine, he has an incredibly left-wing bias to him. He has an incredible left-leaning bias, and it's unfortunate that this is what passes as news at a media publication. This is the politics editor for Smoky Mountain News. Not some college intern that's some bleeding heart left-wing liberal. This is the top man in charge of politics, and this is the kind of garbage that is produced. Shame on you, Corey. You know, you want to bash the federal government? I'm all for it. You want to claim that the Trump administration hasn't done enough? That's a fine stance to have. I'm not offended by that stance at all. I'm all for accountability on both sides of the political aisle. You want to claim that FEMA hasn't done the job? You want to put some blame at the feet of Michael Whatley? All of that is fine. But shame on you for not including North Carolina's disastrous track record, purposefully doing what you and everybody else in the media in North Carolina does, which is cover for those on the political left. Provide cover to Democrats and never provide the full story. That's what is so shameful about all of this. You want to beat up on Trump? You want to beat up on FEMA? Fine. Tell the whole story. I will admit I've never read anything from the Smoky Mountain News before. Obviously, good reason why. This is a disaster for them. This is a really, really poor attempt at providing political cover to those on the left. And this author in Corey Villain Court, what a joke. Politics editor at Smoky Mountain News, give me a freaking break. I'll have the links to this article if you'd like to, for yourself, go and see that there's not a single reference to Hurricane Matthews or Florence under Governor Roy Cooper's tenure. No discussion on how Cooper was the governor when Helene hit. No discussion about Josh Stein's Grow NC office, which has done little to nothing since Helene almost 11 months ago. No reference to that at all. Links in the show notes over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. When legal challenges arise across southeastern North Carolina, there's only one place you should call. That's the law group right here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. Two very interesting stories, both around elections, that have Wilmington in the spotlight this morning. We'll get into those details as the Nick Craig Show rolls on, live on a Friday morning, streaming on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
good Friday morning to you ahead of the Labor Day weekend. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning on the Nick Craig Show. A couple of interesting stories unfolding election-wise. Both of them have a pretty big connections to southeastern North Carolina. The first one, incredibly disturbing situation unfolding. Back on August the 8th, an individual by the name of James Yokely contacted the Wilmington Police Department claiming that his granddaughters had found two pills in ice cream that they had bought at Dairy Queen here in Wilmington, the Dairy Queen off of Oleander Drive. It's obviously a pretty serious thing to claim and a very big problem if you've got drugs being found in ice cream that you're purchasing for your grandchildren. So as you would expect, the Wilmington Police Department responded. However, when they did and started investigating the case, video evidence, presumably surveillance footage from Dairy Queen, showed that the two pills were in fact placed in the ice cream by Yokely himself. The pills were field tested by WPD at the time and found to contain MDMA and cocaine. Now, James Yokely is no longer a resident of New Hanover County. He lives up in Surrey County, where he was recently appointed to be the County Board of Elections chairman. So not only is this guy well-known, but he's the head of the County Board of Election in Surrey County. And so with that, he is now facing charges of two counts of felony contaminating food or drink with a controlled substance, felony child abuse, and felony possession of Schedule I narcotics. Records show that he lived in New Hanover County before relocating to Surrey County sometime after the 2020 general election. State Auditor Dave Bolick's office, who appointed Yokely to this role in June, called the allegations disturbing and urged him to resign. Bolick said in a press release yesterday, quote, "The arrest and investigation of the Surrey County Board of Elections chair is very disturbing. This matter distracts from election management in Surrey County and must be addressed quickly and directly. Our office is built on holding individuals accountable. He needs to resign, and the Surrey County needs a new Board of Elections chair. If he doesn't resign, I'll be requesting the State Board of Elections take action to remove him." Well, he did in fact resign yesterday afternoon in a very, very weird letter. This is what he wrote in response to this. And again, the story here: brings his granddaughters, two of them, to Dairy Queen on Oleander Drive here in Wilmington. Slips, according to police, allegedly, puts blue pills that had MDMA and cocaine in them inside of these Dairy Queen ice creams, whatever he purchased. Calls WPD only for them to find video evidence that he himself did this. So that setup is important because when you read his statement, it makes no sense at all. He says, "The decision has not been made lightly. After much prayer and thoughtful reflection and consultation, I have concluded that it is in the best interest of the State Board of Elections and the Surrey County Board of Elections regarding my own falsely accused circumstances to step down at this time. Based on the truth and facts, I remain prayerfully confident that I will be exonerated of all accusations levied against me." So even though there's allegedly surveillance footage from the Wilmington Police Department showing this guy trying to drug his own grandchildren, he claims that when the truth and facts come out, he's going to be exonerated. Now, the reality is very simple. We live in a society of innocent until proven guilty. Absolutely. He has not been found guilty on this. But there are so many questions this morning. I mean, The running theory, at least from my vantage point, would be he was trying to pull some sort of insurance fraud or some sort of fraud on Dairy Queen by claiming that there were drugs found in ice cream he had purchased for his grandchildren. That would be probably the most likely theory. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me at all going through this story. But even with that, there's still a plethora of additional unanswered questions as to how a situation like this even unfolds, why you would go through the lengths to do this, to put your own grandchildren at risk, drug them or potentially drug them to commit some sort of fraud against Dairy Queen. The whole story is bizarre. WPD, I can't imagine they would charge this guy without pretty concrete evidence that he was the one responsible, that surveillance footage obviously showed him doing this. That footage is not yet made, has not been made publicly available, but it's a very bizarre story. He has resigned from his post as the Surrey County Board of Elections chairman. This story has garnered, as you can imagine, some pretty significant statewide attention. What the hell this guy was thinking and what he was planning to do remains unseen this morning. Not only does he not have any remorse for it, he says he's going to be totally exonerated when the facts come out. We're just going to have to wait and see. I don't know what the hell this guy's doing and what he's thinking is going to happen here. But we'll keep an eye on those details. Pretty disturbing details, I'll admit. The full story is over at CarolinaJournal.com this morning. Turning our attention to some other statewide news with more election connections. Federal prosecutors said yesterday that they have charged a Canadian immigrant who voted illegally in North Carolina in both 2022 and 2024, voting in both New Hanover and Pender counties illegally at the time. The 69-year-old by the name of Dennis Bruchard faces four federal charges related to allegations that U.S. Attorney Ellis Boyle announced Thursday. Prosecutors say the investigation began with an internal investigation by the State Board of Elections. Ellis Boyle, who is the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of North Carolina, said in a press release yesterday, "Every single time a non-citizen casts an illegal vote in North Carolina, it steals and nullifies the vote of an actual citizen." Prosecutors say that Bouchard is a Canadian citizen living in the Wilmington area, where they allege that he voted in New Hanover and Pender County elections over the past 20 years. With Boyle saying, quote, "We intend to prove his illegal conduct in court and put an end to it." Court documents show that the crimes that were he was only charged with voting illegally in 2022 and 2024. With that, there is a question as to, well, how many years did he actually vote illegally in the state of North Carolina? He's been here since the 1960s. He signed affidavits in both 2022 and 2024 that he was, in fact, a U.S. citizen that was eligible to vote. However, according to now an investigation by the federal prosecutors that was sparked by an internal investigation by the state board, proves that he is not, in fact, a U.S. citizen. It would appear that he's here on some sort of green card or something like that, which means that you're legally in the country, but unless you are a United States citizen, you are not eligible to vote in North Carolina. I've got friends that live in North Carolina that are here legally. They are legally in the United States of America through green cards, whether that be through work or marriage or other sorts of circumstances. They're legally in the country. However, they don't vote, because they're not legally allowed to do so unless you go through the process of becoming a U.S. citizen. That is one of the benefits, one of the perks of being a citizen of the United States of America. You are allowed to vote. And according to federal prosecutors, again, another case of innocent until proven guilty, but according to federal prosecutors, 69-year-old Dennis Bruchard is not and was not a legal U.S. citizen. He affirmed on paperwork that he was and voted illegally in elections. The State Board of Elections responded to this saying, quote, "I am proud of the efforts of our investigators who worked this case prior to handing it off to our law enforcement partners at the FBI. Nothing is more critical to our democracy than confidence in our electoral process, which is why vigorous enforcement of our election laws must be a priority." A pretty interesting situation unfolding. We'll wait and see how this plays out through the federal court system. This individual was in court yesterday in the Eastern District of North Carolina. Like the other story, likely to get some additional details in the coming weeks and potentially months. We'll continue to track all of that right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, we are heading into Labor Day weekend. A quick programming note. We are off on Monday. There will be no podcast, no radio show for those that listen to the Carolina Journal News Hour. No show on Monday. Weather-wise, things looking, well, pretty nice across southeastern North Carolina. Today, at least temperature-wise, looks to be the nicest day of the weekend. 86 degrees for your high temperature today. Fair and mild. No chance of any shower or storms. Tomorrow, Saturday, 84 as the high, 20% chance of rain. Sunday, 82, another 20% chance of rain. And rinse and repeat on Monday, 82, 20% chance. That's your typical, run-of-the-mill summer showers in southeastern North Carolina. Temperatures set to be on the cooler side, at least a little bit from what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. Mild temperatures, lows pretty nice. It's 63 degrees right now outside in Wilmington. So all in all, nice weather for your Labor Day weekend. I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully you are as well. Some wild temperatures and weather over the last couple of months. Like, nice to see those temperatures cool down. Hopefully you're able to get out and enjoy your Labor Day weekend. So that's going to do it for a Friday edition of the Nick Craig Show. You can join us live weekday mornings, of course, not next Monday, but coming up Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. You can also listen to the podcast 24/7 at nickcraigshow.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's going to do it. Thanks for joining us this week. Have a great Labor Day weekend. We're back with you Tuesday morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.